out from a peg on the wall. "He's carrying an arrow, too." "An arrow?" Murphy brushed past Skeet and half ran down Turret, New Mexico's main street. At the end, he turned toward a small adobe house that served as Doc Woods' home and office. A small sorrel mare, lathered with sweat, stood loose in the yard, nibbling at the grass. Murphy noticed the dark blotches on the horse's bare back. He could tell it was blood. Travis Price's blood. A few men were gathered on the veranda, talking. When they saw Murphy, they moved to the side, allowing him room to pass. Murphy opened the door, stepped into the hall, and opened the office door to his right. He knew his way around. What was now referred to as the Turret County War had given him enough wounds to become more familiar with the place than he cared to remember. Bernard Gibson had started the trouble, killing Christine's brother to try to gain the McCormick Mercantile's contract to supply beef to Fort Croston. But with the help of Skeet and Moses, Murphy'd put an end to Gibson and his murderous greed. Price lay on a long, high wooden table. Doc Woods hovered above him, busily probing into a hole just below the man's collarbone, with a thin steel rod and wire loop. Murphy stepped to the opposite side of the table, and the old white-haired doctor spoke without taking his eyes from his work.
"The arrow shaft's over there."
The doctor nodded toward a counter at the end of the room. Murphy walked over to it as Doc went on.
"Been 5 years or more since I worked on an arrow wound. Figured Apache troubles was over and I'd never have to do it again. Guess I was wrong. Not really much else I can tell you. Travis never said anything. He fell unconscious when we took him off his horse. A bullet creased his skull and another one went through his leg just above the knee. This arrow wound's what worries me the most. They're bad to get infected."
Doc Woods grunted and jerked the steel rod out of the hole. A large, bloody arrowhead was in the wire loop at the end of it.
"He's lost a lot of blood. If that doesn't kill him, he might pull through. Too bad this happened to him. As long as I've known Travis Price, he's been all right. Takes good care of his family and ranch and never bothers anyone."
Murphy laid the arrow shaft back on the counter and started for the door. "Thanks, Doc. I hope he makes it." Skeet almost ran into Murphy in the hall.
"Well?"
"I don't know."
Murphy kept walking toward the front door. "He's unconscious. I'm going out to his place." Skeet caught up with Murphy in the yard.
"I'm going with you. I'll go and get Moses. You're liable to need us for sure."
Murphy stopped. "You and Moses don't have a freight run today?"
"Nah, we don't leave for the fort till tomorrow morning."
"All right, then. Hitch up a buckboard and meet me out there."
"Me and Moses don't need a wagon. You ain't the only one what can ride a horse, you know. Why, I was riding Bronx before you was born. That's the trouble with you, young..."
Murphy interrupted, raising his hand. "Bring the wagon, Skeet. I hope, like the devil, we don't need it." Chapter 2. Murphy went to the small corral he'd built behind the jail and caught and saddled his big, muscular, mouse-colored Gruya. He opened the gate and mounted. The horse immediately lowered his head and danced sideways, acting like he was going to buck. Murphy smiled at the horse's playful antics. The slick Gruya bore little resemblance to the plodding, worn-out skeleton that had aimlessly carried Murphy toward Turret a year ago. But then, the horse wasn't the only one who'd changed. After the death of his wife, Midge, a few years earlier, Al Murphy had drifted from place to place, a